This is the Friday, April 21st, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Brian Roach. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on a market we did not get a chance to discuss during the program, and that's the U.S. dollar. We still just are bouncing right around that par, that $100 point level on the index. What's your sense? Are we going to break one way or the other here this summer?
I think the economy's got to prove that it's on stable ground. The euphoria post-election has waned, and now the bigger questions are coming on how do we make all these changes and see these systemic moves that the White House is talking about. So I think the dollar remains on the defense for a while.
Okay.
I don't know how much of a break we get lower here, but I think it trades lower. The White House wants a weaker dollar. He said as much, and he's asking the Fed chair to monitor rates. And so I think whatever the market's trading in terms of expectations for rate increases, those just keep getting pushed, and that'll lead to a weaker dollar. He also has some other influence like Brexit. You saw that had some impact where the dollar pushed lower on that type of news, and certainly this French election may have a similar impact. So I think there's some headwinds to the dollar for a while. And if you look down in Brazil, the other commodity and currency, the real continues to trade higher. That goes against the received price by the Brazilian farmers, and I think that helps our export markets, all things being equal.
Now, while we're talking about the real, if the real continues to strengthen, would we see those Brazilian farmers that are currently holding their beans, not making sales, would they be more inclined to start getting them unloaded with a stronger real?
If you were to look at it, and if they were to read it as the real is going to continue to move on higher, and if you look at a weekly chart on the real, it has a long ways to go.
Okay.
Even though it looks kind of tapped out or capped out here on a weekly or daily chart, if you look at the weekly, it has a long way to run. So I think the Brazilian farmers got a lot of inventory that they're hanging on to. They're going to have to do something here with the second crop corn coming because, they don't have the storage to cover both. And I'm hearing about outdoor storage and some things like that. And so I think the beans will have to move to make room for the corn, and that's going to force some beans to market.
How well does outdoor storage work in Brazil?
Probably better than you think. They're modern operations down there with all the tools that a U.S. farmer would have. The weather's obviously
That's what I was wondering. It just seems like we'd be coming into a period with more moisture down there, correct?
Yeah, you would. So there are obviously some problems there. I think the corn crop coming, a big second corn crop in Brazil, is probably the bigger issue, and that's going to force the beans to move regardless of pricing.
All right. Well, now we've got a question we touched on during the program, but I wanted to get more your thoughts in detail. This one is from Rodney in Edgar, Wisconsin, and he's asking, why is the spread for fat and feeder cattle so narrow, and do you see it changing in the near term?
Well, it ought to follow a normal seasonal pattern, but I think the current as current as the market is, it tells you that, with these carcass weights continuing to fall and fall and fall, until we see that bottom, we'll probably see this spread narrow like it is. And so as you look out into the June contract and this next cycle on cattle, I would expect it to stay fairly narrow until we get this market caught up.
Okay. As a speculative play, would you be looking at buying August fat cattle, selling August feeders, and trading that spread as it gets narrower?
I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
That's a small group of guys that are interested in that. That might be a trade that you would put on, Mike.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump down. Let's talk about, this question is from Five Pro Farmers on Twitter. They're asking, with the recent rains across the Corn Belt, how long before the markets reflect delayed planting?
A little while. And so Monday's planting progress on corn was, say, at 6%. I would expect on Monday it'll get further behind. But it's really not a real problem until, I would say, middle of May. The forecasts on the 6 to 10 are awfully wet. It's supposed to stay pretty wet here. Delta on up through Missouri, Iowa, Illinois. It's going to stay wet here for the next week. So obviously that's going to drag down planting progress, but really we have to look at, I like the third Monday in May as kind of a test as to, do we have a problem or not? Should we expect some sort of top taken off the yield as less and less of the crop gets planted early. So,
is there a percentage figure you'd be watching for on that third Monday in May? Do we need to be 60% done to be in the clear?
Oh, I think 60% would be bullish.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think if it's below, say, 75, 80, okay, you know, that's telling you if a fair amount of the crop is yet to be planted. That's a lot of that's a big number in terms of acres. So I think that would be an issue. Now, that's bullish corn. That's bearish beans.
Yes.
And so you kind of have to, you know, you have to watch both sides of that.
All right. Our next question is from Shelby in Decorah, Iowa. He's on Twitter at ShelbyCorneliu2. Shelby's asking, where would the U.S. dairy industry go from here if the trade relations with Canada are not resolved? If we continue to not be able to export some dairy products into that country, is that a major negative picture in the dairy industry?
You know, when you shut off those types of channels, it's always going to create some problems. And I don't think Mexico is going to be a big taker at this point, although they may see, I mean, it certainly has a negative on milk prices. I think that this trade problem with Canada, though, I think it can be smoothed out. We've seen, I mean, Trump doesn't really want to destroy those channels. I think he's trying to, at least what the promise was, is make better deals, not unwind the deals completely. And so let's hope that that's what comes out of this.
As NAFTA renegotiations begin,
yeah,
maybe he can find some leverage and
do
what he talks about doing. All right, our final question. We talked about the dollar earlier on. You mentioned interest rates. Austin in Iowa City at Frytown Austin wants to know, how will a 2% increase in interest rates affect ag, and how soon will we get there?
I would say those kind of interest rate numbers are getting pushed back,
okay,
more so than we thought they would, given Trump's latest comments about what he wants to see happen with the Fed. So we have a chance to nominate a new Fed chairman next is that this year? Around the corner.
2017.
Around the corner.
Yeah.
And so I think that the pressure is on Yellen to keep rates probably under some sort of reasonable escalation, maybe a little less so than what she thought, based on what she's hearing from the White House. So, the overall impact is bigger interest payments, harder to buy stuff, harder to get loans and lines of credit. So, I think it tightens things up on the size of the lines that growers are typically used to. Certainly, the cost becomes a bigger issue. So, I mean, I think it tightens things down just a little bit more. And certainly right now, you know, equipment and extra costs like that are being pushed off. And so hopefully that'll help us out a little bit.
All right. Now, we have been taking questions from Iowa State students as our commodity question of the week. And we encourage all of you at school, whether you're at Iowa State or Kansas or Nebraska or U of Illinois, wherever, or a high school student, if you've got a question about marketing and or the future of agriculture, shoot a little video and send it in to us. But this week's comes from an Iowa State student. And if you're interested, you can learn more about this project by listening in on last week's M2M podcast. Here is the third installment of our college-level agriculture student questions. This is from Erica Baer at Iowa State University.
So as we see new technologies implemented, such as biostimulants within fertilizer programs, are we going to see those fertilizer markets ultimately shift?
What do you think, Brian? Are we going to get some substitution of nitrogen for a biostimulant? Or what's your read on the fertilizer industry as a whole? Because I know that's something you guys track at Roach Ag Marketing.
Fertilizer side of the market is very well supplied. I mean, we have big supplies coming on here with, you know, OCI's building this plant and Weaver. And I mean, I think the markets, you have consolidation in terms of operators in the market. So, but energy prices remain low, crude and nat gas. So I would expect that these types of products will remain a small part of production agriculture until proven. We're seeing too much of the upside of all the science and technology that's going into the way we produce today. And I think if I'm a grower, I'm not apt to want to change from what's really working. And so those become sidelines until proven, and they're probably going to have to be a lot of tests, a lot of proving out, and that takes years. And so I think that even though there could be some premium, some organic, you know, if it, you can call it organic, and some markets that are developed with that type of input and those types of technologies, it becomes a, it still remains a small part of what you and I see as corn and soybean and wheat production.
And you talk about it taking years. It also takes margin before farmers are willing to take a risk. If times are tight, I'm going to stick with what I know.
Yeah.
Which is pulling on N, pulling gas, and buying high-quality seed.
Yeah, the cooperatives out there that are supplying all these products today, I mean, I just don't think that they're going to be willing to move over onto something like that for quite some time. It might be a great idea, and it might be some really good stuff, but I think it just the dollars and cents and also the training and the idea of change in big ways, I just that's a big ship that's very slow to turn.
That's right, especially in agriculture. We're a slow-moving or slow-turning industry. When you've got millions of producers.
That's right.
Well, Brian Roach, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us this week.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate being here.
And join us again next week when Tom Fitzenmaier will sit across from me here at the Market to Market table. And we will also continue to explore how industries in Louisiana are helping shore up the Gulf Coast. So until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.